Hello and welcome to Is This Thing On podcast number 86. I'm flying solo this week. I'm on my own some. No, not even Paul. No Paul this week either because he's busy. I don't know what he's doing. He was doing something. I can't remember what it was. He's something about cricket and drinking. That's what we do over here in Grand Britain. Right, well, I have got an interview later on with the Cherry Blue Storms, which I've only just finished editing together. It's pretty nice, pretty marvellous. Got some fantastic music for you this week, some brand new stuff that's come through to me this week. As per usual, nothing unusual really, is it? I'd like to say hello to everybody at Radio Dentata. Hello, Radio Dentata, your sexy station. And I'd like to say everyone to... I'll say hello to everybody, whatever. This is the beginning. Let's have some fantastic music. This is brilliant. I really, really like this a lot. This is called Tiger Lily, and this is by a great artist. This is Fleroy.
Listening to Nick Tan's Is This Thing On podcast.
Yeah, I really like that. That's Fleroy and Tiger Lily with the with the W E M E F E R horns or something. I don't know, I'm sure they'll correct me. If you're listening to this, in fact, all the bands and artists that listen to me on this, if you want to make some comments about the tune, about your new album and stuff, go to the website and make a comment in the comments. Sometimes you email me and say, can you say this, can you say that, and the time's gone. The time has passed for that. This podcast has already been recorded. So what you need to do is to go on to the website and make a comment there. Anybody can do that. Anybody but anybody, even people trying to sell Viagra apparently as well. I don't know what they've been telling them about me. I don't know why they sent me this sort of stuff. Anyway, that was Fleroy and Tiger Lily. There's loads of bump they sent me. They sent me a whole ream of stuff telling me the whole story about them, but unfortunately they sent it to the wrong guy, because you know me, I just play the music. If you want to find out about the bands, go to the website. There'll be a link to the bands. Go and find out about themselves, because I just can't be bothered. I spent 5 hours making a compost heap today. Anyway, enough of my problems. Belisa. Belisa, Belisa, do you remember Belisa? A fantastic band, a new album out now, and this is a great track off it called Awesome.
Hello, I'm a posh bird, and you're listening to Nick Tan's Is This Thing On podcast.
Isn't that gorgeous? Now, it might not be your cup of tea, that, but I think, to me, that reminds me of a little bit of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, the album, I can't remember which album it was, the one that had Woodstock on it, and who else? Jethro Tull. I always remember Jethro Tull because he invented the seed drill. Did you know that? Jethro Tull invented the seed drill. Not the band, but somebody called Jethro Tull. I think that's where they got their name from. Anyway, this is the next track. This is the next track. This next track is from old friends of the podcast, old friends of mine. This is Waxer Zat. This is Out in the Cold.
You got away with words, and I've got away with murder. You must have heard of of us. The social situation burglars. You want me to stay? Please let me stay. Well, I'm going nowhere. You're out with your mates, but I don't care. Just leave is all the same. But it's been a year to the day. Either I go or he goes. There's not enough room in here for two ridiculous egos. You see, I've tried it once before. You want me to go? Go, 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 go. But I'm not going nowhere. No, I'm not going home yet. So you want a drink? You need a drink? I want you a drink. Take a drink from my hands. I've got you a dry martini. I hope your friends don't see me. You take your hands from your hips. What are your plans? Came the words from your lips. I would like a kiss, just to reminisce about old times, good times, love times before I go. Cause those were the years, those yesteryears. There was no such thing as fear. But not this year, get me out of here. The love in my life goes to zero. I'm out in the cold, with no one to hold. And are you even listening to a single word I'm trying to say? And are you even listening to a single word I'm trying to say?
Music, go to nicktan.bandcamp.com. Please buy some. I really want to go to university.
And you'll be hearing more from Izzy later on, because she's going to tell you how to submit your tracks. This is a real bugbear of mine. I tell you, it really pisses me off. Anyway, what doesn't piss me off, segue, like it, good, is Waxers At and the Cold. I like it. I really, really like it. It's got a nice, warm, sort of raw... Can you have a warm, raw feel? It's not very easy to say. Try it. Warm, raw feel. Warm, raw feel. Yeah, okay. But I love it. Love that track. And I love Waxers At. Love what they do. Now, earlier on today, I did some of this. So, here I am talking with Deborah G and Craig Loughlin. Is that right?
No, it's not right. It's Glenn.
Glenn. Glenn. I'm thinking of Craig McLaughlin. But you don't know who that is, fortunately.
No.
Good. Good, and you're both from. You are, but now are you both? You're both Cherry Blue Storms.
Yes.
But there are more. There are more than just you two, or are there?
Well, when we perform live, we have other people. We've had a bass player who's played with us at live gigs for several years.
Uh-huh.
Who's a steady member, Steve Giles. I play bass on the recordings. And we've had a kind of revolving door of drummers. We have a guy that lives on the East Coast. We live on the West Coast in California. And there's a guy that lives on the East Coast. And when we can arrange to be in the same place at the same time, we like to have him drum. His name is Tommy Deal. He's the drummer on our new album.
Because I've always maintained that in a band, the drummer is the biggest slut. Because they drum for anybody. They don't care, do they?
No, they don't.
They just like hitting things with sticks. So whether it doesn't really matter what the music's like, really, do they? They don't really go, oh, look, I can hit things with sticks. Look.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So, what can you tell me? How long have you been together?
Well, as the Cherry Blue Storms, I think we've been together for about 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Cool, because I've started playing your stuff probably a couple of years ago, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because so far, is it just the I've got your album around here somewhere.
Transit of Venus.
Yes, Transit of Venus with the holographic thing on the front cover.
Yes, the lenticular.
Well, bless you.
Yeah. And yes, that's the only release so far. We're just about done with the second album finally, so that should be out soon.
Actually, I was listening to that. Because I think nowadays a lot of people don't tend to listen to albums that much, they listen to tracks, but I actually did sit down and listen to the whole of that album. And I remember putting something up on Facebook about that, and you've got a fan in... Do you ever listen to the podcast at all? If you do, you know I'm bloody awful with names. Andrew Foster. Andrew Foster, who's a musician around here and around Portsmouth, and I mentioned something about the album. So I listened to the album. It's actually a fantastic album when you listen to it as a whole. And he's a big fan as well. We were chatting backwards and forwards, or back and forth.
Andrew's one of our very first fans.
Is he?
Yeah, he really is. As soon as we released the record, somehow or other, he got onto it, and we had emailed back and forth a few times, and I've listened to his music as well, and. You know, he was quite young, and so he's really made a lot of progress since we first talked to him. So
he's actually been here. We've done an interview with him.
That's great.
Great.
And he did a couple of live songs. And in fact, he produced a track by a band called a guy called Los Bridge, which I played a couple of weeks ago, and he played bass on that as well. So yeah, he's doing very well, very very well indeed. So you've been together for about 4 years, and you had the new album, the old album, and we've got the new album, which is Bad Penny Opera.
Correct.
So, yeah.
Now there's a theme to that. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah. Well, I think all of our music, you know, we kind of wear our influences on our sleeves quite a bit. You know, the largely late '60s British pop. You know, like Revolver. You know, the kind of psychedelic mod type stuff. You know, early Pink Floyd, whatever. And I mean, it certainly comes out differently through us, but I think people can sort of see the thread of, you know, where we've come from. But this album, Bad Penny Opera, is more overtly kind of a love letter to those influences. And we've hung that onto the frame of a story where Bad Penny, our heroine, breaks up with her boyfriend and takes a sort of Pilgrim's Progress kind of journey to London. And, you know, thinking that she's going to start a new and better life in London. And along the way, of course, she meets various people and has various experiences and that sort of thing. But it's all an excuse for us to do a bunch of songs that make references to things that we love.
Fantastic. So there's obviously a kind of, should we call it a love affair with Britain?
Absolutely.
Let's do that. So have you been over here at all?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yes. I lived in London for a while.
Oh, cool. Whereabouts?
Notting Hill Gate.
Oh, well, of course you would. Of course yeah. You would. Where all the cool people hang out in Notting Hill Gate.
But we actually were over there a couple of years ago playing for International Pop Overthrow. We played at the Cavern Club a couple of shows, and that was pretty fun.
Yeah, that was really fun. That's kind of opening up a bit more now, the Cavern Club, isn't it? Because it was dead for a while, and then people were kind of buzzing around going, the Cavern Club's closed, you know! It's closed! No one plays there anymore! And then all of a sudden, everyone wanted to play there.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, I had never been to Liverpool before, which is maybe surprising being such a big Beatle fan, but I hadn't, and we loved it. It was great.
I've never been there.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
It's full of scousers.
I guess it would be.
I lived in London. I lived in a place called Maida Vale, which is right just around the corner. It's adjacent to Abbey Road, just by the famous zebra crossing. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did that. By the way, we just had to do it.
Do people do that then?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. He's like, he's teasing me.
And they get hit by cars when they do it.
Yeah.
Good. Good. So they should.
So where do you live?
I live in a place called Eastleigh, which is in between Winchester and Southampton, which is down on the south coast.
Oh, that's where Glenn wanted to take me down there when we were over there. We just didn't get to it, but we plan on that next time.
Yeah, Winchester's quite good. Southampton's kind of okay. Yeah, there are better places to go, but it's okay. I wouldn't take a big trip down to Southampton if I were you. You might be a little bit disappointed.
But I've gone up and down the south coast a lot, you know, in the very south and on the west in particular, and Cornwall and Devonshire, and you know, going down to Torquay and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I loved it. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it is a really nice part of the world, actually, I must admit. What's handy is it's quite close to where I live.
Yeah, that's great.
Cool. So you were gigging yesterday, you told me earlier.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad we got that one sorted out. Thanks very much indeed.
No. We just both answered at the same time. Played at this festival in Pasadena called Make Music Pasadena. It was an outdoor festival. Music started at about noon and went till about 8. And we were the 1 o'clock slot. And we had a great turnout. There were a lot of people there and people buying, you know, merchandise and actually signing up for the next album, paying money.
Brilliant.
It's actually, we
plopping it down, that was a good thing.
Ah. We played the first time they had the festival, and then one time we were in England when they did it again, so we couldn't do it, and there was some other reason we couldn't do it some other year. So I think this is the fourth year, and they asked us back, so it's good.
Well, they've asked us back every year. We just missed a couple of years that we couldn't do it. Mm. But anyway, it was fun.
Cool.
And we're playing again Tuesday night just as a duo over in Santa Monica, and then again as a band, the full band, at the end of July for International Pop Overthrow here in town.
Cool. Now, I don't know if you listened to the interview I did a couple of weeks ago. It might have been last week, actually. Was it last week? I don't know. With Annie McCloskey, who'd gone over to the States to do a 3-week tour, and just all self-funded, and just basically her and a few other people went over there and just played at a few venues out there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I heard part of that.
Yeah, and it was very interesting, because I kind of talked to her a little bit beforehand as well, and a little bit afterwards. And the music scene out there is so different, or it appears to be so different, where you can, I mean, there are a lot of acts. I mean, it seems to be that everybody plays guitar. I mean, everybody plays guitar, and they all play it really well. So it's not like, oh, there's some guys who play, oh no, but he's brilliant. And everyone's been playing guitar since they were three. There are loads and loads of bars. There are all sorts of coffee shops. There's the home concert circuit where you can actually go and play in people's houses, and they'll feed you and they'll look after you and they're nice to you. And it seems like musicians are kind of respected a little bit out there. Have I got the wrong idea there?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's true. Did she come to California? Is that, or
I don't think she did. No.
Yeah. See, it's much different on the East Coast, because you have so many big cities that are geographically close to one another. You can take the train, and you know, it's easier to get to. If you do, like when I used to be in the Dickies, and we would tour on the East Coast all the time, and it'd just be one city after the other, just boom, 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 you know. But California is more spread out.
Well, so, she went to the Midwest.
Well, that's quite spread out too, unless she went to Ohio. Ohio's a state that has a lot of cities and a lot of colleges, and there are a lot of places to play there. Mm-hmm. If she went there.
Mm. Yeah, it's. I would say that depending on where you are in the United States, the music is highly respected. And they do treat musicians well in certain parts, mm-hmm. but out here in LA, where everybody comes out and there's just like It's a melting pot, believe me. Mm. So it's not the same out here. You can't book with original material. You don't really generally make money at some of the clubs. Like we certainly got paid yesterday, but I'm saying just in general, if you want to do your original material at some of these clubs around town here in LA, you don't get paid. It's whatever you bring, whoever you bring.
Well, unless you're a national or international.
Yeah, exactly.
But then and then people will come and they'll spend money behind the bar.
Correct.
So would you say there's a scene down here, there's a continuing debate that goes on down here. It was in Southampton. It may go on all over the place, and I'm always fucking banging on about it every week about people playing covers. Like I've got nothing wrong with playing covers. I kind of do it. I'm not very good at it. That's one of the things. That's one of my problems. I'm not very good at playing covers. I'm all right with friends and we sort of like play around with music and stuff, but gigging, I'm really not. But if you want to make money out of music, like make it a full-time occupation, then really the only way you can do it, unless you jump through all the hoops, etc., is to be in some kind of covers band or you do like a function band and then you get paid money. It's an odd thing that people will pay you to play other people's stuff, but they won't pay you to play your stuff, even if your stuff's good.
I agree.
It doesn't work in any other artistic field.
Well, it's not that they won't pay you; it's that you won't get a guarantee. If you bring people, then there are certain clubs that treat you pretty fairly. You'll get a good portion of the door, so you can make some money. And of course, if you sell any merchandise, then you do even better. If you get on the festival circuit, or if you can play colleges, then you can make money doing original music as well. But they're kind of two completely different scenes. If you're playing in places that feature cover bands or tribute bands or that sort of thing, as opposed to doing original music. But it's clear that a lot of times people are going out for entertainment, and they want to hear things that are accessible to them. So if it's stuff they've heard before, then that's fun, for them, as opposed to hearing something for the first time in clubs that don't tend to have the best acoustics. And if it's a loud rock band in particular, then it's like it's hard to really get it, the first time you hear it. So you're paying money to hear new music and try to assimilate it, and it's more difficult. Some people are up for that, some people are not. And that's, I guess, not to make too strong of a line between one and the next, but maybe the difference between art and entertainment.
I suppose so. It's like people don't want to be challenged. I can kind of understand that sometimes when you want to sit down and watch TV and you go, shall I watch The Simpsons or shall I watch this documentary on Russian architecture? Which might be quite interesting, but you kind of haven't got the headspace for it. But I think there's still spaces for good bars to have a reputation of being a good place to go and see like a good original music. We don't have that in Southampton. In London, you kind of do. There are places you can go to and say, well, let's go on to this place tonight, because it's a good place anyway, and, we might see something we've never seen before, and we might love it.
Well, it used to be that way. When I was younger here, of course, there was a huge music scene in Los Angeles for a minute. Clubs were opening and closing every day. And then it went from, the sort of the punk new wave thing to the heavy metal big hair thing, and that was just awful. And for me, I thought it was awful. And I thought there was a lot of bad music and a lot of bad attitude, and not that they weren't nice people, because I sort of assumed that they weren't. And when I'd meet all these guys at rehearsal places, I found out quite the opposite. It was always the punks and the new wavers who had all the attitude, and the heavy metal guys were super nice as far as I knew. But I didn't care for their music, and by attitude I meant like just the nature of a lot of the material, celebrating sexism, celebrating being drunk and non-productive, and I wasn't really into that kind of thing. But it sort of damaged the club scene, I think, because then they started the pay-to-play thing in Los Angeles. And it was a completely different scene than what I had come up in. And so I didn't care for that too much.
So how do you go about getting gigs? How do you like physically? Do you want not physically? I mean, literally. How do you go about getting gigs? Do you have a gig guest out for you, or like a manager or an agent, or do people just phone you up, or do you send emails out, or do you just go and visit people, or do you network, or?
Well, we network. We send out emails. We have had gigs given to us, or like people contacting us, just like the Make Music Pasadena Festival. They contacted us because someone else said, hey, you got to check out this band, you should hire them. So anyway, that's so it's those things. We don't have an agent at this point, but we're still looking.
Oh, right, okay.
Looking.
Well, you don't need an agent for local gigs unless you are trying to open for a national act or something like that. We just, we've been here a while. We know the guys that book and women who book the types of clubs that we would be welcome at. And so we just call them up and say, do you have a date? And we draw well enough that usually they'll give us a date. So there's some, on the more east end of Los Angeles, there are some clubs, the Echo, Silver Lake Lounge, what's the other one called? Anyway, there's some like that have a reputation of being really, really hip. And some of them we haven't been able to get booked into. There's one that one of the more popular ones that's owned by a guy that I used to work in the studio with, and so we never play there, but the ones that we do, we know the bookers and we just call them up and get a booking.
Cool. So you mentioned merchandise earlier on. So do people buy merchandise?
Yes.
Is this a dumb question? It's a dumb question, isn't it?
No, I don't think it's dumb. I mean, I think people. People are not going to buy merchandise if they don't like what you do, right? Mm-hmm. So I think, generally speaking, I can't say for every single gig, but generally speaking, we always sell merchandise. We always sell CDs and T-shirts. Mm-hmm.
So how do you go about doing that? I mean, you're playing on stage. Is there like a merch kind of area? Or do you come off stage and say, hey, over here, everybody, T-shirts?
We have somebody, we always have someone that comes to the gig with us that handles that. We pay somebody to take care of it for us. Cool. Or we either pay them or they volunteer and do it for
free.
They
do it for love.
Yes.
For love. I love people. That's people that do it for love you like, don't you?
Absolutely.
I bring a lot of gear to gigs. So when we get done with a show, Deborah's doing the smiling and waving, and somebody else is doing the T-shirts, and I'm putting all my gear away.
So what sort of merchandise have you got? What could we expect to buy at a Cherry Blue Storms gig?
You could get a Deborah G solo album called Portal, which is quite a good record.
Well, why haven't I got a copy of that?
Oh, you don't have one. I'll have to send you one.
Okay, so there's that, and then you could get, of course, the Cherry Blue Storms Transit of Venus record.
Yeah,
you could also get the Cherry Blue Storms T-shirts of various types that I designed by ripping off the Charlatans.
Really, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
it's a tried and tested method.
Yeah, well, they had this single, and for no apparent reason, it had a big number 3 on it. In a particular design, and I liked it, so I used it for our big C for the Cherry Blue Storms, and put that on a T-shirt.
Well, I'll tell you what I found very popular is what you might call buttons, what we call badges.
Yes,
they go like hotcakes.
Wow.
Unlike my hotcakes.
When I was doing my before I met Glenn doing my solo record, I actually had magnets. Refrigerator magnets. People like putting those on their refrigerator.
Yeah, they do. I was talking to a friend of mine, Steve Picking, the other day, who plays with a band called Coast, and he was out in Germany, and they'd taken out, they bought cigarette lighters.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But he didn't have he was playing. I put a call out to Steve. Well done, Steve. He's a good mate of mine. I played with him a few times, and he's playing with his band Coast. He played to a crowd of 10,000 in Germany last week.
Wow.
Didn't have enough cigarette lighters for them all. 2,000 had them. They had to share.
10,000's a good, nice number.
10's a good number when I'm playing.
Yep.
We'd have to do the faux cigarette lighters, the ones that keep you from smoking, you know, that they don't have any lighter fluid in them.
Is that for real? Is that a real thing? No, you bastards. Okay, so the first album you did, was that a self-funded album?
Yes, fortunately I have a recording studio, so...
Oh, that's okay then.
Yeah, it's not as much of a problem.
Cool. And what have we got in your studio? What are your three things in your studio that you're most proud of that you go, hey, but look at this?
Well, the most important things, of course, are the mic pre's and the microphone. So mm-hmm. I guess my API mic pre's, my Neve mic pre's, and my Neumann mic. Those are probably the things that I think are the most, as far as actual recording gear.
I like my mic too.
I have a 1960 Neumann UM57, which is a tube mic with a tube power supply, and it's quite a good mic.
Yeah, they're very nice.
What kind is yours?
Well, mine's actually it's a Rode. It's not a really really expensive microphone, but for what I do, and my friend Ross got it for me as a wedding present 5 years ago, and it was a real. It's beautiful. I love it. I'd like to have more expensive mics, but I'd also like not to go to work tomorrow. But I love it. I love it.
Yeah, they're fine mics.
Yeah, they're fine for what they do. They're fine. And what I like is you can put it in front of a guitar and it sounds lovely.
Yes, I agree.
So, what have you got planned for the... That's a crap question. People always ask that question, don't they? What have you got planned for the future? What are you looking for? What are three things you're looking forward to in the next month, Deborah? Not necessarily music. It doesn't have to be about music.
Oh, it doesn't?
No, it doesn't have to be. It can be if you want. We can talk about music. Carry on talking about music if you like, but we can... So what, three things, the first three things that pop into your mind that you're thinking, yeah, that'd be quite good.
Getting some rest. No, I don't know. Let's see. I'm looking forward to warmer weather, swimming, more hiking, and finishing our album because we're getting close. I've had some vocal issues, so...
What does that mean, vocal issues?
Meaning that I've had like bronchitis and that kind of crap, and I haven't been able to sing for like 2 weeks at a time, and then you're trying to get your voice back into shape where it was. So it's been a little challenging for me as far as getting our vocals finished up, because that's basically the only thing we have left to do.
Cool.
So we've got like half of the album done with the vocals, but we still have the other half. And yesterday, singing, by the way. Is not able to hit any high notes because my voice was going hoarse for a week.
Really? No, that's one of those things, isn't it? You can get, I think sometimes, because I sort of hit a few high notes, and it's kind of like, it's all right when you're there, but it's making the transition from going to the other notes to the high notes, and you get that, I get something like, you know, like when clarinet players and
that was a love call to Winston.
No, when you just did that, he jumped on the computer.
I'm like the Doolittle of the podcasting world. But you know, like saxophone players and clarinetists, when they use a reed and the reed goes. Yeah, you know, it does that weird thing when the reed's gone.
Yeah, that's what was happening.
Yeah, that's
just had to adjust and sing lower notes.
Yeah, that's why I've got I have this singing teacher that keeps promising to give me some lessons. I know this from this singing teacher, and she keeps promising to come and help me out. But she says it's all in the warm up. You've got to do the warm up. If you get the warm up right, then so what do you do to warm up, Deborah, in normal circumstances?
I just run some scales, actually, when I'm in the car. Or else I get out my guitar and I play that to warm up.
Are there any things that you sing a lot to sing along to help you?
No, not really. I mean, I either warm up on some of our music with the guitar, or I'm just doing some scales that my vocal coach gave me.
Mm-hmm.
And drinking a lot of hot tea or something, you know, that kind of thing, and honey.
Mm-hmm.
so that helps me.
If I haven't sung for a while, and I just need to, like, if I haven't sung for a couple of weeks or even longer, normally not much longer than a couple of weeks, but I start with the Chili Peppers, because the Chili Peppers is really, really easy to sing. If you sing along with the Red Hot Chili Peppers, not
maybe
eating Chili
sing
Peppers.
Sing is not the right word.
Well, that's what I mean, though. That's what's really good about it, because it's nice and easy. There's only about three, he only uses about three or four notes, and so it's very easy to go along and da-da-da-da, and that kind of, that's like a jog, or like a little walk. To get me into it. If I haven't sung for a while, that's a really nice, easy thing. You can do lots and lots of it. It's not taxing at all. And then when it gets better and better, then I use Rufus Wainwright. And then Rufus Wainwright, he's got more of a range. He uses that nice high register, so you can sort of like go from low voice to upper voice. And then when I'm on my game, it's Jeff Buckley then. Then I can hit the big, big, big high notes then.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes what I do too is I'll sing an octave up as well. Yeah. Just sing the song an octave up. But I also, now that you mentioned that, as far as with some of the artists that you've done it with, I mean, sometimes I do that to Chrissie Hynde.
Well, one of the first comparisons that sprang to mind when I first heard you.
Yeah, that's what, I have heard that too. But yeah, I really dig her.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with a bit of Chrissie.
Absolutely. Now there's a big pause.
There was a big pause, wasn't there? That's because I'm not a professional. I'd have filled that. I'd have filled that with something then. I wouldn't have asked open-ended questions, and I wouldn't have. I would have asked open-ended questions, and I wouldn't have just gone, yeah.
Nick,
and there's another one.
You're totally cool. You're
funny. If only. Well, I think I've taken up about as much of your time as I should do, really. So, what can you tell me about the new album? When's it going to be ready? When can we put? I've got a track of it here, haven't I? I'm going to play a track of it.
Yes. Yes, I did. I did send you a track.
Yeah.
You know, unlike I think a lot of modern records that tend to cover a lot of the same territory from track to track. Our record is not really like that, so I wouldn't say this is necessarily a typical track of the album, but it's the one I chose to send you.
Well, it certainly is.
It certainly
I can
is.
Vouch for that.
That's right.
Anyway, it's called A Better Place for those out there listening.
Yeah, we've got live horns on it.
Yeah, you got to have live horns. You can't have the keyboard horns. It doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
Everybody knows.
Agree. But yeah, it's just a part in the story where she's decided she's just, you know, they've broken up and she's just wanting to go to London and thinking that the streets are paved with gold and that sort of thing.
Cool.
So it's a better place than where she's been.
Well, The song really could be either from Bad Penny to her boyfriend or the other way around, but I think it's really the other way around because it's about leaving somebody in a better place. That's what the lyric refers to. So you know, obviously they're both parting, but one is going. So the song is really to the person who's going. And so it's sung by Deborah, but it's really coming more from the boyfriend's point of view. And it's one of those songs where it's at the beginning of the journey, you know, who knows what's going to happen and, you know, kind of being philosophical and wishing the other well and that kind of thing. It wasn't necessarily a bitter breakup. It was the kind where you realize, wait a minute, this is not working. We've got to do something different. So that's the way the story starts.
Brilliant. Well, look, it's been absolutely fantastic. I've got one more favour to ask you. Could you just introduce the record, please?
Sure. this is Glenn and Deborah from the Cherry Blue Storms, and Winston. Let's not forget Winston. And we're
our birdie.
We're introducing our new album, Bad Penny Opera. Is that what you had in mind?
Well, you could just introduce the song, because what I'm going to do. Almost seamlessly from this interview is to put the single on afterwards. So if you can tell us what the single is, well, what this, not necessarily the single, but the song that you chose to send me.
Okay. This is A Better Place from the Cherry Blue Storms.
It's hard to start here at the end. It's hard to part with you, my friend. I want to shout and lay the blame, but I still love you just the same. I thought I knew you more, fool me, 'cause I forgot the mystery that hid away behind your eyes until you said your last goodbye. It's alright, you spent the night, now you're gone without a trace. I hope you're in a better place. It's alright, you spent the night, and I like to think your grace has left us in a better place. It's hard to part with you, my friend. I want to shout and lay the blame, but I still love you just the same. It's alright, you spent the night, now you're gone without a trace. I hope you're in a better place. It's alright, spent the night, and I like to think your grace has left us in a better place.
Hello, this is That Posh Bird again. For more information on who has been played on the podcast, simply go to isthisthingonpodcast.com. Can you do that? Good.
Good, good, good. And if you can do that, then you better click on the Cherry Blue Storms name and it will link to their website. They've built a new website. And that was lovely. It was lovely talking to them. And we'll be talking to them again next month. How wonderful is that? I've also got another idea. Another idea. Every time I say I've got an idea, my manager, Paul, goes, oh, God, what's he going to do now? But this is for the podcast. And what I'm going to do, I've already put this out to the artists because I've got an artist group on the Google groups. If you've got something you want to sell, if you've got something you want to publicise, if you've got something, well, those two things really, make a jingle. just a jingle. Now, all you got to do is just put what you want in the jingle. If you've got a car for sale, if you've got a gig that's going on, if you're an artist, actually not many artists listen to this, to be honest with you. It's mainly you. So if it's something you want to sell, something you want to publicise or something, send me an MP3 file. To the email address thing I'll give you later on. It can, as long as it's funny. Well, it doesn't have to be funny. It can just be interesting. A little bit of music underneath. It's got to be... You can't put the Beatles underneath. It's got to be some sort of... I don't care. You know me. I don't care how crap it is. If it's you going, la 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 la, come and buy my car. It's a 97 Ford, blah, 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 blah. Or we're having a garage sale, or we're having a PTA meeting or something like that. Just put it in an MP3 file and send it. Actually, send it to this address. Email me at isthisthingonpodcast@gmail.com. That's isthisthingonpodcast@gmail.com. With your MP3 submissions, Russian watch offers, foreign bank scams, and of course, Viagra. Lovely. So all we've got to do is ping me off an email with an MP3 file attached. You can do that, can't you? It doesn't, like I say, it doesn't matter how crap it is. If it's entertaining, that's fine. If it's short and boring, no. If it's boring, keep it short. I am doing this, I am doing that. Just keep it short. Not too much information. It's best to give people just a couple of little facts, not like I do. Just blast them with info. Right, now we're running out of time. We're running out of time. We're getting that time already. I'm just looking around at this, some other stuff that I'd played in the past, and I came across this old track. This is a brilliant old track. This is by Ernesto Schnack. This is called Build, and it's quite beautiful. Thank you. That caught me out, that bit at the end. Right, now, you might have heard me mention earlier on about people sending me in tracks. Now, I still get people who don't go to the website and don't find out about how to submit tracks. Now, if you do want to submit tracks, what you need to do is to go to the website. It's this thing on podcast.com, and there's a tab at the top, and it says how to submit your tracks to the podcast. And this is what you need to do.
If you want my dad to consider playing your original music, you must send him an email with your music file as an attachment. If you have a website, include that in the email, as it will be mentioned and linked to on the website. The email address is thisthingonpodcast@gmail.com. The music must have been written and played by you. The music file must be an MP3 or MP4A and have your name and the title of the piece of music as the file name. E.g., Nick Tan, Don't Make Me Wait.mp3. If my dad plays your music, he will email you to let you know. Thank you.
See, it's as simple as that. So if you want to find out about how to send tracks in, follow that advice of Izzy, my lovely daughter. And if you can't remember what that is, just replay the bloody podcast again. It's not difficult. Or there's audio in French and German and Farsi as well as written information there. So go to the isthisthingonpodcast.com website and click on the tab that says if you want to submit music or how to submit music or something like that. I can't remember everything. Right, Dawl and the Forefathers is what I'm going to play to you next. And Dawl came in last year, did a nice little acoustic session. Can't find the track anywhere. Who knows? Who knows where it could be? Anyway, this is a lovely track by them. It's called When Will the Children Learn? And it's lovely. Listen to this.
I finally found a damn good reason to storm ahead and not be burdened by the remains of the day. Their tongues have tatted, my words have stuttered. I've made my bed in many gutters. I've heard what the naysayers a surge in boredom. There's simply just no time to waste. There's no time to waste. I want to scale the tallest towers and see the patch of grander flowers. I don't.
Hello, this is the Posh Bird. See if you can guess which one I am on the Is This Thing On podcast Facebook page.
And she's there, and so could you be as well. So go onto the Is This Thing On podcast Facebook page. Right, well, that's it, everybody. That's the end of the podcast. Got one more tune to go. Now, this tune I'm going to play you is a tune that I kind of wrote with Napoleon. You might know Napoleon. Do you know Napoleon? Also known as Ben Perry from Watch Your Mother's Now, TV Pixie and Hot Potatoes and stuff. Well, I do lots of different kinds of lots of different music projects, and one of the projects I do is I write comedy music. Or rather, I kind of write the music and Napoleon generally does the words. And it was for a podcast that is no longer going called Watch With Mother's Podcast. And now it is called Hot Potatoes Podcast, which kind of goes out every couple of months to, I think, 3 months was the gap between the first and the second one this year. And it's just stuff that I do. And it's a little bit of a different arm? A little bit of a different thing anyway. Well, this is a song that I got the music for from Napoleon. He just sent me the music as an MP3 file. Well, he sent me the words, him sort of singing the words, and they said, can you put some music to this? I put some music to it, and I put a guide track to it for him to sing, and then they said, actually, we like what you've done with this. We like your work, Nick. We like what you've done here, and we'll keep it with this vocal you put on there. And I was quite pleased, and I was kind of hoping they'd do it because I thought it was quite funny. And that was the last podcast, which is about a month ago now. God knows when they're going to do another one. Anyway, this is a song about inflammatory bowel disease. So if you're of a gentle disposition, you shouldn't be listening to this fucking podcast in the first place. I will be back with you next week. After this song, I should put lots of jingles on for you to listen to, just lull you off to sleep. Anyway, hope you have a lovely. We can do a lovely. I've got I'm doing 3 gigs on Thursday. Just thought I'd mention that. I'll speak to you next week. Bye. Oh, I've got inflammatory bowel disease. I don't live my life with ease. I can't eat milk or bread or rice. I can't even eat some cheese. But despite all that, it's not so bad. Oh, see, because life's a blast right out of my arse with inflammatory bowel disease. I used to be an athlete, a champion in my field. I ran for good old England. Gold medals I did yield. And then one day it happened, as I was warming up trackside, my inflammatory bowel disease announced its presence from out of my backside. I've got inflammatory bowel disease. I don't live my life with ease. I can't eat milk or bread or rice. I can't even eat some cheese. But despite all that, it's not so bad. Oh, you see, because life's a blast right out of my arse with inflammatory bowel disease. I took a job as a teacher, a shaper of young minds. I taught them with agility to the best of my ability. And then one day it happened, a gurgling from the rear, my inflammatory bowel disease covered my charges in diarrhea. Oh, I've got inflammatory bowel disease. I don't live my life with ease. I can't eat milk or bread or rice. I can't even eat some cheese. But despite all that, it's not so bad. Oh, you see, because life's a blast right out of my arse with inflammatory bowel disease. So I became an actor, Toreador of the boards. My Macbeth was legendary. My Hamlet won awards. But then one day it happened, as the crowd stared up in wonderment, measure for measure was ruined by the torrent coming out of my fundament. I've got inflammatory bowel disease. I don't live my life with ease. I can't eat milk or bread or rice. I can't even eat some cheese. But despite all that, it's not so bad. Oh, you see, because life's a blast right out of my arse with inflammatory bowel disease. And there you have my story, a tale as old as time. I only wanted to fit in, but I had a mountain to climb. Now I keep myself to myself. I'm afraid I've given up the fight. Thanks to my ruined innards, I live in a bedsit surrounded by shite. Oh, I've got inflammatory bowel disease. I don't live my life with ease. I can't eat milk or bread or rice. I can't even eat some cheese. But despite all that, it's not so bad. See, because life's a blast right out of my arse with inflammatory bowel disease. Because life's a blast right out of my arse with inflammatory bowel disease. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Twitter.com.
This is the Posh Bird, and you have been listening to Nick Tan's Is This Thing On podcast. Fucking good, wasn't it?